This is Vectis Radio.
For the people, by the people.
The Visit Isle of Wight Show with James and Judith. Thinking of a trip to the island? Check out visitisleofwight.co.uk today.
Well, welcome to the first of two Visit Isle of Wight Show this wonderful Wednesday in Newport, where the sun will not stop shining. These are the lovely, lovely sounds, of course, of the Isle of Wight that we recorded last year. And we hope you'll recognise as many of them as possible. There are about 20 different sounds. You might even find a little lion in there in a moment. Anyway, in the studio with us at the moment is Timothy Harris from Isle of Wight Glass Studio, or Studio Glass, I should say. Welcome, because I'm very excited to see you here, because I actually thought that Isle of Wight Glass had disappeared, and it hasn't, Timothy.
No, not at all.
That's fantastic. You've actually just changed where you are.
Yes, we've just relocated, really. We had a traumatic time in 2012. Due some financial influences, as well as the road closure, really was the major one, the Undercliff Drive.
Because you were in St Lawrence, weren't you?
Correct. That's it.
So that means that there's a road that goes, for people who don't know, that goes between St Lawrence and Knighton.
It starts in Ventnor and ends in Knighton.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the main way through. But unfortunately, half of it sort of slipped away, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And slowly, probably the first slide sort of happened 8-10 years ago.
Yeah.
They did various feasibility studies. Wasn't really going to work. What they were planning on doing. All the other businesses closed, slowly moved away. So we were the only ones left. So it became very difficult.
Because I used to come and see you and your dad there 20 years ago, I think.
Yeah, you would have done. I mean, it may have been longer than that.
Yeah.
Because dad's been gone longer.
Oh, blimey.
But,
well,
it's, it's been a difficult time, I suppose, because it was my heritage, and moving from one place to another is quite hard.
Mm,
you know,
you're
sort of, you know, there's all those memories and things of dad and learning and stuff and working with all those other people. But you have to, you know, financially, from a business point of view, you have to make a move.
Yeah.
So we did, and we moved to Arrowton. And it has, touch wood, been very successful so far.
Yeah, well, I'm really pleased that you're still here, because we have got some amazing pieces of glass at home that my parents bought, you know, maybe 30-40 years ago. They're absolutely astonishing. Can you just tell me what it is you do with glass, because you make these beautiful pieces. In fact, there are some in front of us at the moment.
Yeah, I brought one or two examples in just for people to see. Obviously it's radio and nobody can see them, but I have to describe them. A lot of them are we mainly work on surface decoration. That's what Dad was all about, was surface decoration and beginning to move away from putting colour inside things, which was a traditional thing to do. If it wasn't clear glass, cut clear glass, you wanted to put colour on the inside. So let's move away from putting colour on the inside and put colour on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about surface techniques and decoration. So and including a lot of silver and gold leaf. Now, the silver and gold leaf thing has a bit of a story.
Yeah.
Which was that Dad commissioned the Royal College of Art, of which he was a tutor.
Yeah.
In the earlier 60s, 1960s. And he commissioned them, the students, to produce something that was commercially viable.
Right.
So various students did things, and the one thing that stuck out, this one student did, called William Walker.
Yeah.
Good name. He went to see a sign writer at some point. He said,
right.
The sign writer said, well, why not bung some gold and silver leaf on something? I use it in the sign, right? Bung it on. So we tried it, and it worked to a point.
Yeah.
But some of the shapes weren't great that William Walker was doing. So Dad and him did that together, and Azurine was born. And Azurine became probably the mainstay of what Isle of Wight Glass made for a long time.
Yeah.
Interspersed with other things.
Yeah.
But it really did grow the company. And the commission that William Walker got out of it enabled him to build a studio and earn a living.
Yeah.
And you know, it really did work very well.
So azurine, is that the sort of really iridescent blue?
No. That it's a black background and it has silver and gold leaf on it. I brought a piece of that today, but I've kind of moved on from that. I've seen so much of it because it was made from probably 1979 right through to almost 2012, 2013 time. So we've moved on a bit, you know, let's leave that.
I mean, the pieces in front of us today, we've got one that's sort of blue and gold, and that is a lovely vase. It's about, 11 inches tall. I daren't touch it because I'm incredibly clumsy, but if you think about, I was saying earlier, it's sort of a bit like one of those Klimt paintings with all that gold in there.
Yes.
But also quite like a sort of peacock as well in terms of the iridescence, isn't it?
Okay,
And I this is what I think of, this kind of finish, when I think of Isle of Wight glass from your studio.
Yeah.
I suppose most people do, because we've been doing this iridizing of things for a long time and we've become very good at it.
Yeah.
But it does rely on a huge amount of chemicals being applied to the surface. Lots of metal oxides.
Yes.
So you're having to put the metal oxides onto the hot glass. Hot glass is 1,000 degrees C at least during the working temperature. So you're applying these layers of colour on and putting sterling silver leaf on, burning that out to leave a silver oxide, applying different trials with different colours and oxides on them. And then the final process, once it's been made, I mean, it's really a thing you have to see, you know, because it is heat, fire and smoke and almost alchemy.
Yeah.
And then you spray this tin salt onto the surface and all these iridescent, you know, fantastic colours come. You can spray it various colours depending on the heat and the layers of colours that you've applied to the surface.
I mean, it does look very, very metallic. Do some people think...
But there is metals in it.
Yeah.
I mean, and some people think they're ceramic because, we're talking about surface decoration.
Yes.
You know, ceramics are... They're opaque, so you can't see through them. A lot of the work that we do is opaque. You can't see through it. It's not immediately recognisable as a piece of glass.
Yeah.
And I suppose because of the technique you're using in producing something like this, every piece is different. Everyone's an original and one-off.
Yeah, I treat the pieces of glass like people. Yeah. They're all individuals, but they all belong to a family. Now so you can make a group of shapes all with the same pattern on, but they all will be different.
You see, when I look at that, I agree with James, it does look very Klimt-like.
Yes.
But it also sort of reminds me of the night sky over the island in some ways.
Okay, this piece is Dad's design. Uh-huh. It's a piece of nightscape.
So I wasn't far
well
wrong.
Done. Uh-huh.
Absolutely correct. It is the sea at night.
Or a view of the sea at night. Oh, that's really interesting because is that sort of pattern, that sort of almost Art Nouveau sort of feel about the curves. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. And iridization, the French did quite a lot of it during the 1920s.
Mm.
So that has another link to that sort of craft thing that was going on in France and things.
Well, Tim, stick with us because we need to get some Ed Sheeran in now. What I'm going to do is ask you about your other pieces, but also ask about the experience of coming to your studio at Arrowton Barnes and what people can expect when they come there. So stick with us and we'll be back in just a few moments. She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell. Ed Sheeran. And that's Galway Girl. We're here with Timothy Harris from Isle of Wight Studio Glass. I've got it right this time. Tim, I'm really, really pleased to have you here because what you do for the island is fantastic. What you create is effectively the best present anyone could bring back from the island, I think, to the mainland.
Thank you for saying
because
that.
Because it is so beautiful and it sort of encapsulates, I hope, you know, the best of the island, because you've got these island themes.
I guess we have. You know, I guess subliminally, whatever I do or my father did before me is influenced by our surroundings.
Yeah.
And our surroundings are beautiful.
Mm. Well, let's talk about your new surroundings, which is at Arrowton Barn. It's a lovely place, isn't it?
Yes, it's a nice spot to be. You know, we look at the old church and green outside the windows and it's great, and we're there busy. You can come and see us blowing the glass, making things with all the heat, fire, smoke. everything that's going on, and a nice smart shop.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, you can come to Arrowton Barns for the day, actually, because
you can, because there are other craftspeople all working very hard, yeah, to make a living and make very nice things.
There's also a good pub for people who don't know Arrowton Barns. Lovely pub. There's a great shop called Farmer Jack's, which is terrific island food. And there's the Shipwreck Museum, and in fact, in a few minutes, we'll be getting Kristen in from the Shipwreck Museum. But if people come to see you, Tim, what will they actually see? Is it just a shop?
No, not at all. We're making product, yeah, every day, 7 days a week.
So you are actually in front of all the customers blowing glass.
Yep, we have. You come into the studio, and the main entrance is straight into the what we call the hot shop, yeah, where everything happens, where everything is made. So you can watch me make things most of the day, and we have a viewing gallery, so you can view it very easily, and yeah, we'll interact with you, ask any questions, whatever you want, as long as
Have you ever had anybody commission you on the spot to do something?
We're very lucky that way, because I think once people have seen it made, they appreciate what's involved.
Yes.
And so if somebody came to you and said, look, I'd really like an iridescent bowl, can you create one for me while I watch? Would you do that?
Or is that not very often? Right. It usually has to be thought about a little bit more than that. And we have, usually our day is set.
Yes.
We're making X, Y, and Z on a day, because you've got furnace, you've got a big dragon in the corner of the room eating money all day long. The gas bill is enormous.
Is it?
Yeah. So you have to make sure that the hours that you're in front of it are absolutely, you're making things all the time, really.
And if people want to get ideas with commissions, I understand there's a museum next door, which is a little bit separate.
There is. It's a separate entity, but it's a museum that charts what really has gone on the island to do with glassmaking, which is tremendous, really. I mean, there's a lot gone on, from what my father did right through to other people and other makers, and it displays and charts that history.
Terrific. And there are hundreds of pieces of your work in that museum and your father's work.
So
if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way of finding out more?
The best way, I guess.
The website,
I guess. The website, yes, which is www.isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk.
Fabulous.
The email address is info@isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk.
Yep.
And the phone number is 01983 85. Oh, I forgot my own phone number.
Oh, don't worry.
It is 522-339.
Perfect. Now, I think the best thing people can possibly do is, if they're on the island, just pop into Arrowton Barns and to see you. Are you open all week?
Yes, we're there 7 days a week. The site is open 7 days a week, as I say. And we're making glass most days, almost 7 days a week if we can. We have to fill the furnace up with raw materials at least once a week, maybe once every other week.
Yeah.
Takes a few hours to melt, so it gives us material to carry on.
Great.
But the shop is open. Certainly, there is something going on, something to look at. You will be, pleased and amazed if you see glass being made, how involved it is.
No, it is wonderful. I've been to see it, and it's really exciting. Judith?
Well, I just think it's so fantastic, because so many people travel to Italy. They go to Venice, don't they? Then they take the boat. They go to Murano to see the glass blowing there. And hey, you can do it here on the island, and it's completely free.
Yeah, exactly. And look, the glassware we're talking about is very, very special. I think we're just going to end, Tim, by looking at two more of your pieces. I have seen your pieces in Harrods. You used to sell in all the best stores in the country and overseas, but now it's direct, isn't it?
Yeah, most of it is direct through the website, through our shop. We supply a few retailers up and down the country, but it's all about dealing with the customer directly.
Yeah.
I think it's most of what we do is quite a considered purchase. It's not a can of baked beans. Mm-hmm. It's not a commodity. So we have to bear that in mind, very much so. And it's all about dealing with that individual customer's requirements.
Yeah.
And I hope we do that, and we do that well. The other piece that I've got in front of me is a piece of what we call stratum, which is patterned with multicoloured stripes running through it in an odd direction up and around.
Yes.
Which depicts the strata of rock. So you've got layers of colour. And it has quite a matte surface to it. I mean, there are lots of different shapes, different sizes, different price structures.
Yeah.
So, have a look.
It's very, very, very beautiful, that one. It reminds me of a bit of the sort of marbling technique I've seen in Turkey, where they're sort of marbling silks.
Like a bit of batik or something that you've scratched through and revealed another colour, and then scratched through again and revealed another colour.
Also, something you really want to touch,
yes,
because it's got
absolutely
this lovely feel to it.
They are
it?
Really, yeah. Most yeah. of what we do is enormously tactile.
It's incredible because Tim's brought three pieces in, and I just wish our listeners could see them. And they are all just so different.
Yeah, I mean,
and
third,
also very beautiful in their own way.
The third one looks like a ginormous Ferrero Rocher, but a lot posher. That's extraordinary. It's gold. It's sort of crackle gold, but huge amount of texture to it, even though it's completely spherical.
Exactly. It's a sort of a citrus. It's a chartreuse green. Under on top of that, there is a little bit of black powdered glass, and then on top of that is actually sterling silver leaf, which has been split using a technique which the Victorian glassmakers did, which was to immerse it whilst you're making the glass still hot into water, and it would crack the surface, and then you would continue to blow it,
yeah,
and stretching those and opening those cracks and fissures up, so you get this nice sort of crackled surface on it, revealing the colour underneath.
No, it's absolutely astonishing. Well, look, I hope a lot of people from listening to this come and see you, because we don't have an island national treasure, but if we did, I think you should be it.
Absolutely.
Because thank you very much.
I mean what you do for the island is superb, but please do go and see for yourselves. It's amazing. Go to Arrowton Barnes, to the Isle of Wight, Studio Glass. What do you call it, a furnace or a works or a...
Well, it's the studio. It's the studio. It's the hot shop. Is where all the hot things happen. There's various bits of equipment that are all nice and hot, and maybe on a very sunny day you might sort of bring a drink if you're going to come and watch.
Yeah, good idea. But, I'm sure you'll be able to get one in the pub there.
It's good and drafty through there. There's plenty of air. But it is a really good spectator sport, and
good.
People do really enjoy watching.
Well, Tim, thanks very much for joining us today, and we hope to be at Arrowton Barnes very soon to see you there.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That just had to be Enya. And that was Echoes in Rain. There's no rain at all on the Isle of Wight, as I hope everybody knows. There is no rain at all at the moment here. At the moment, it is beautifully sunny outside, and it looks like it's going to be lovely for the next 5 or 6 days here, with temperatures soaring up to about 24 degrees on Sunday. This is the Visit Isle of Wight show on Vectis Radio with James, Judy and Kieran, and Kristin Hemagi, have I got that right?
Yes, you did, yeah.
Brilliant, is with us in the studio. We've just been speaking to Tim, who obviously blows glass at Arrowton Barnes. You're at Arrowton Barnes as well with the Shipwreck Centre, aren't you, Kristin?
Yeah, the Shipwreck Centre and Maritime Museum. We're just next door to Isle of Wight Glass, actually.
Now, that used to be in Bembridge a long time ago, and then it moved to Arrowton Barnes a few years back, and it's just gone under a change of ownership. Could you tell us about that?
So the management has changed.
Yeah.
He used to be Martin Woodward, who set up the museum 40 years ago. It'll be next year, actually, at Bembridge.
Yes.
And then 2006, it moved to Arrowton.
Right.
And earlier this year, the Maritime Archaeology Trust took over management of it. So I've been working on the Shipwreck Centre since, trying to make improvements and really build on what Martin set up.
Fantastic. Now, Martin himself told me earlier, he's actually probably out diving at this very moment.
Yeah, I would think so, in this lovely weather.
So what's he diving for? Is it shipwrecks, or is it little bits of treasure, or what?
It's shipwrecks and other things, really. He's a professional diver, and
yeah,
that has been his job almost 50 years, actually.
Is everything in the museum stuff that he found himself, or is it more wide scale than that?
Most of the things he has brought up himself.
Wow.
From local shipwrecks around the Isle of Wight, actually. There are some other things as well. There's a lifeboat collection.
Yes.
Focusing on the important work that the lifeboats do for the local people.
That's right, and in particular the Bembridge lifeboat, because it's quite a big station, that, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
And, Can I just ask you about marine archaeology? Because a lot of people, when they think about archaeology, think, oh, you know, that's a land-based thing, but obviously it's not.
It's not, no. So as a maritime archaeologist, you focus on everything that's kind of under the sea or connected to the sea and yeah. people that lived and used the sea. So any really boats or crafts or ships or anything, but also submerged landscapes,
yeah.
which used to be on land,
yes.
but are now underwater.
So we're talking about, you know, maybe a village that's sort of either slipped into the sea or been flooded or something like that?
Exactly. So there's one off the Isle of Wight, actually, Bolner Cliff, I was just diving on yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And it's 8,000 years old.
Yeah.
And you have people, traces of people there. So you got flint
yeah.
that people have used and also worked wood.
Wow.
And that is still on the sea floor.
That's amazing. It hasn't been silted over.
It has been silted over,
right.
but it's eroding out from the cliff.
Right.
And that's why it was found
yeah.
About 10 years ago. And since then, the Maritime Archaeology Trust has been working on this site.
Good Lord.
And we do it annually, actually.
Yeah, I didn't realise that. So you're a bit of a diver yourself.
I am, yes.
And is the Isle of Wight a particularly good place for diving?
It's very good
mm-hmm.
In terms of there's a lot of shipwrecks around here if you're focusing on shipwrecks.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously most of the ships going past Isle of Wight, going in the channel, going past Isle of Wight, and some of them cutting through the Solent as well.
Yeah.
And where you have a lot of traffic, you have a lot of accidents.
Yes, and also we've got these sort of notorious sandbanks here, don't we? And off Brightstone as well, there's some shoals, I think, out
yes.
to sea, which are particularly dangerous, because if you go into Brightstone Church, you keep seeing the names of poor drowned sailors.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So,
weather and wind, and maybe people believing it's a very safe passage, but
yeah.
but the weather can turn quite quickly. And
yes,
are there any sort of particular shipwrecks in the museum that you concentrate on? Are there any sort of famous shipwrecks?
There are a couple, mm-hmm. more or less. So there's one that's been in the news recently, the Mendi. It
right.
sank 1917.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it came from South Africa, left Cape Town with loads of South African and West African soldiers
yeah.
to come and fight in France.
Yes.
But had a collision here with a postal service ship, actually,
yeah.
just off the Isle of Wight. And unfortunately, 616 people died.
Oh. Right. Oh, dear.
Mostly soldiers. Gosh. From. Yeah. So that's been in the news because it was 100 years ago
yes.
this year,
yes.
earlier this year. So that's a very sad story.
Yeah.
And that's something we really want to show, how these shipwrecks affect people's lives and
yes.
how many souls we really have lost
yes.
on similar shipwrecks.
Yeah.
And that's not the only one. And,
yes.
and the two wars obviously have contributed with a lot of shipwrecks.
Yes, because every now and again, for people who don't live down here, there's a story about another mine being found or another torpedo or some form of ammunition being found in the Solent that has to be brought up and exploded in a controlled fashion.
Exactly, yeah. And you see them sometimes on shipwreck sites as well, and ammunition especially.
Mm. Yeah.
That's still down there, and it's quite safe, but you should still be careful if you are diving on these shipwrecks.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, stick with us, Kristin. That's the Animals. And Baby, Let Me Take You Home. James, Judy and Kieran here at Vectis Radio. It's the Visit Isle of Wight show, and we're talking about the wonderful things that are going on at Arrowton Barnes, a really, really special place. Kristin is with us at the moment talking about the Isle of Wight Shipwreck Centre. Can you tell us, Kristin, what would you find when you go there? What are the sort of key things to look out for?
So the key things are really to try to understand and focus on the great selection of things that we do have from mm-hmm. different shipwrecks, but also old diving equipment to really understand how people have been diving and exploring wrecks.
Yes.
Hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
Because even though scuba isn't that old, there are other ways of diving with these old hard hat divers that walked on the seafloor.
Well, I've seen some pictures of Martin Woodford actually diving in those really, really old diving suits. They still work, do they?
They still work, yeah, they still work. And they're in the museum for
you
to have a look at. There's also a diving bell, which is kind of like an old way of going down, like almost like holding a glass upside down and putting it in a bucket,
yeah.
for example.
Yes.
You get a bubble of air
yes.
inside, and that's how people went down to shipwrecks
wow.
hundreds of years ago. And obviously, I would be terrified doing it.
Is there one piece in the museum that you sort of are really, really proud of?
Oh, there's just so many. It's just, I think, I think the strength of the museum is really the collection that Martin worked on, and seeing the different things and really connecting them to yourself and recognizing things that you might have seen otherwise.
Yes. I think you've got some Spanish gold and silver.
We do have some Spanish gold and silver, and yeah.
Does that come from the Armada, or is it later than that?
It's about the same time.
About the same. Wow. Yeah, exciting,
so there's some coins and things as well. That is quite exciting.
And I think it's great, particularly for kids. It sort of puts history in context, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Thanks. And there are activities for children, mm-hmm. as well. So when children come along and walk into the museum, they're being presented with a clipboard with different activities, so they can do a treasure hunt, and they can do a message in a bottle, they go looking around for clues and pirate trails, so there's something to do, and that's very popular with the children.
And if there are any teachers listening, I mean, the Isle of Wight is a place that, you know, lots of children flock to in the summer with their teachers. I mean, the first time I came here with my teachers was when I was 10 with a clipboard and all those sorts of things. Do you have school trips?
Yes, yeah, we do. We have one today, actually. This morning fantastic. We had one. We have one next week. So we do school trips, and that's something we want to increase and focus on now.
Brilliant.
Over the next few years as well.
Well, for those people who would like to come to the Shipwreck Centre, I think the website is www.shipwreckcentre.co.uk, or if you want to put in an inquiry, it's museum@marinearchaeologytrust.org.
Maritime Archaeology Trust.org.
Wow, that's a mouthful. Now, it's at Arrowton Barnes Craft Village, which is in Arrowton. You can't miss it. Could I just ask one final thing, which is about the Lifeboat Museum? Is that sort of completely integrated, or is it a sort of separate museum?
No, it's integrated. So it's a part. It's one part of the museum is focusing on lifeboats and the people they help. Mm-hmm. So there's a DVD playing, and there's other things on as well.
And at some stage in the future, I know you sort of want to make it a bit more interactive. You were telling me off air that nowadays, if you're looking at sort of wrecks using sort of scanners, there's a lot of 3D imaging available, and you can do virtual reality tours of wrecks, can't you?
Yes, and that's something we're working on really this week when we're out diving as well, is to photograph wrecks and then build up a 3D model of them. And what we have done with our school visits as well is to invite children to put a headset on. So we have a virtual reality headset.
Yeah.
They put it on, and they're on a shipwreck site, on a local shipwreck site. And maybe in many people's head, you imagine this pirate wreck with mast and sails still standing. And it's not really like that anymore. But what it really gives the viewer and the user of this virtual reality set is a picture of what a shipwreck looks like when it's been under the sea for 100 years. And you often see the big boilers, which were used, obviously, propel the ship forwards. And that remains, and you see. But you're standing in this shipwreck, and you really feel like you're underwater.
How
and these
amazing.
Boilers tower over you, and it gives you an amazing feeling.
Wow.
So these are things that we're going to bring into the shipwreck
museum. That sounds an amazing way of sort of getting these things over to kids. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Kristen. I understand it's a bargain, actually, to go to the Shipwreck Centre. It's only £5 for adults and a lot less for children, and there are family tickets available too.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, Nan, and waving flag. Just time to tell you about the Festival of the Sea, which is coming up between the 23rd of June and the 9th of July. And on Apley Beach in Ryde, there's going to be Shipwreck Isle, which is specifically aimed at young ones who can dress up as pirates and get their little patches on and get their swords out and maybe even walk the plank a little bit.
Yeah, kids love that, don't they? Kids love pirates. And I love dressing up as a pirate, James, because do you know what? It's not difficult to get dressed up as a pirate, is it?
No, it's
not like somebody says to you, get dressed up as Marie Antoinette. I mean, you know, how would you do that?
No, exactly.
But as a pirate, it's lovely.
I think I've still got my pirate gear from Best of All. Anyway, enough of that. The other thing with the Festival of the Sea, which is coming up, is the Round the Island Race, and that is going to be on the 1st of July this year. It's sailing's answer to the London Marathon. There are going to be 16,000 sailors out there going around the Isle of Wight. So if you're coming over to the Isle of Wight, don't forget about that. It's the 1st of July. What you need to do is get yourself up onto a hill like Culver Down or Tennyson Down and find your panoramic pitch. Your panoramic pitch and watch from there.
And take a picnic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Going to be talking about a classic Isle after the news.
The Visit Isle of Wight Show with James and Judith. Thinking of a trip to the island? Check out visitisleofwight.co.uk today.
Yep, it's the Visit Isle of Wight show, and we're going to be with you in just a second with the wonderful Paul Cox. He's one of our very, very, very favourite people in the studio. We've had him in here a few times before, once a year.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
You're competing there with the wonderful sound of the Quar Abbey Choir.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah. It's a different type of classical music that you're bringing to us, isn't it?
It is, yep. Again, Classical is a mini festival with a broad spectrum of different artists playing different instruments and vocal arrangements, all based over one weekend, 8th and 9th of July, from Barton Manor. So, yeah, it's all there to be had.
Well, we are officially stoked. That was the sound of a firework going off.
I wonder what it was. I thought it was me.
Tell you what, you're going to have fireworks, aren't you, as well?
Well, we're thinking about it, yes. It depends. If people are nice, we might throw a little display in at the end.
Yeah. And tell me what's going to actually happen on the day. You are in a completely different venue this time, aren't you?
We are, yeah. We've got Barton Manor, which is a stunning venue in East Cowes. It's adjacent to Osborne House.
Yeah.
It used to be part of the Royal Estate.
Yeah.
Little hunting lodge for Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
But it's in private hands now, and Dawn and Alex Haig-Thomas have kindly let us have access to the grounds.
Yeah.
And it's actually going to be held in the private, their own private area, adjacent
wow.
to the house itself.
It's a beautiful Jacobean manor, isn't it?
It is. So it's absolutely
really, really,
stunning.
Really worth seeing.
It is. And the grounds are all manicured, and there's a terraced garden which goes down to a huge lake, wooded area behind it. It's a stunning setting.
Why did you go from Northwood House to Barton Manor? Was it just for a nice change?
Just for a change, really, and the fact that it is a more attractive setting. It's ideal for all the, again, for all the ferry links. It's nice to get to from the other side of the island. It suited what we're trying to achieve, you know, with an intimate setting.
Yeah.
The surroundings, huge parking area. It just works on all levels.
So what people can expect is a big stage with your performers on it, and they're either going to sit on deck chairs or we're lucky enough, Judith and me and some friends, are all going to be sitting in a VIP area.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we've actually reduced, because the stage was a little bit overpowering, I thought, for the size of the venue, so we've actually reduced the size of the stage down, again, because we're trying to create this little boutique-y, intimate setting.
Yeah.
And what I didn't want was the stage overpowering both the view across the terrace gardens and this Jacobean mansion, which would be adjacent to where we are. So we've reduced the size of the stage down, but it's obviously full-size covered stage. Full covered VIP marquees with comfy sofas, wait-on service.
Butler service, I know, that's
wait
good.
Wait-on service, you'll have a glass of Prosecco on arrival, and fully catered for. And the lawn tickets, you're just invited to bring a low seat or a blanket. Bring a hamper, bring a bottle of wine. It's not like the Isle of Wight Festival, you know, we don't take things off you as you turn up at the gate.
Yeah.
We welcome you, and we want you to bring in whatever you want.
Fantastic. Well, stick with us. I was so excited earlier about a previous act you'd had, Martinez, that he came in a bit early, but here he is now.
He's keen.
That was Martinas, and he won Lithuania's Got Talent, I understand, Paul.
He did, yeah. He's come on a bit since then.
He is one of the most extremely talented accordionists in the world.
There's very few that actually do what he does.
Yeah, I think so. He studied at the Royal College of Music. He was with you for the first Classical.
He was.
Now, tell us, because last year we were all very excited about Classical, and then something happened.
It did. The weather stepped in.
Yeah.
We'd had everything set up. We were at Northwood Wednesday evening. The stage was in place. The marquees were all set up.
Yeah.
And because I obviously on the Twitter feed and so on and so forth. A Twitter tweet came through from Isleworth County Press Online saying weather warning for the weekend.
Yeah.
Big storms and so on and so forth. So we obviously looked further into it because it was coming right at the time, mid-festival. So a meeting was called between myself, the events guys, the production crew and stage crew.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, where everything is temporary structures, marquees, the stage, they're not warranted or guaranteed or even insured over certain wind strength.
I know, and I think that weekend, I mean, it was a complete freak storm. It was the middle of July, and I think winds were getting up to about 50 miles an hour, weren't they?
They were predicting 50 to 70 mile an hour gusts, and the gusts were coming from the direction, I think they were coming from the southwest and heading southeast and going straight into the mouth of the stage, which obviously is not ideal for a poor classical musician.
Well, we were very disappointed not to be able to come because the first one was so good, but you did handle it incredibly professionally. So I'd just like to say thank you because everyone got their money back and you did it in a really, really good way. You're completely transparent about the whole thing. So thanks. Thank you. And, you know, fingers crossed this year it's not going to happen. And
well, we did, because obviously that caught us on the hop a bit.
Yeah.
We did study back through the last 10 years of weather patterns, and this weekend has consistently been good.
Yeah.
Hence why we chose this weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Chances are.
but, be good.
You know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're hopeful. So.
Well, we're looking forward to coming to Barton Manor. Tell us about the price of things. It's 50p. £50, I think. That would be lovely.
Yeah, it would be.
For the VIP ones, isn't
VIPs are £50. Because obviously, these are world-class talented. You know, any one of these individual performers, you'd pay at least £25 to £30
to
see.
Oh, I know.
On a stage anywhere. The whole thing kicks off at 4 o'clock, ends at 10. So you've got 6 hours, a rolling programme of hourly performances from different genres of artists right up through to we've got the Royal Marines concert band, which is a standalone concert band, which is all ex-Royal Marines.
Yeah,
they're doing a full-on proms for us.
Yeah, amazing. That's the Saturday night.
That's the Saturday night, and leading up to that we've got Lizzie Ball, who's again a world-renowned violinist.
She is, yeah.
Katie Marshall, this young soprano, award-winning. So we've got a broad mix. Michael Christian Durant, who's a classical guitarist.
Yeah.
He's going to do all the classical Spanish favourites. Mm-hmm. And as part of the Marines band, we've also got the Medina Community Choir, who are going to come along and sing alongside them. So they're going to be doing a full, from Ness and Dorma to the Dam Busters, Bide With Me, all the usual Marines favourites.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, no, we're really looking forward to it. Well, stick with us. Here is Amy Dixon, who played with you 2 years ago. They're all doing incredibly well, these people.
We gave them a good leg up.
You've got an eye, haven't you, for this talent?
Yeah, one of them works.
This is Amy Dixon and Windmills of Your Mind. Was the London Mozart Players with a little excerpt from Hummel's Trumpet Concerto. They played, of course, at the first Classic Isle. It's going to be the third Classic Isle.
Two and a half.
We're here with Paul Cox on the Visit Isle of Wight show at Vectis Radio. Paul, we didn't get round to actually working out the pricing of these wonderful tickets for Classic Isle. It's £50 for VIP tickets, isn't it, for one day?
£50 for the VIP, which gives you covered marquee. You've got comfy sofas, you've got a wait-on service, glass of Prosecco on arrival, fully catered for and looked after, basically. Yeah. And again, as I was saying previously, you get six performances over the 6 hours.
Yeah,
world class musicians. So, for £35, which you'd pay to go see any one individual artist, you can come along, bring a low slung seat or a blanket.
Yeah.
Bring a hamper, bring a bottle of wine, just relax.
Fabulous.
And just enjoy the afternoon.
So it's either £50 or £35.
£35. Yeah.
Now you don't have to bring your own food, do you?
No. We've got an in-house caterer now, who is well known on the island, Angel in the Kitchen, does superb catering. So you can either order an individual hamper,
yes,
for £10.
Which yeah, I know, it's very good value because it's three courses, value. Isn't it?
It's for, three courses, yeah. And there's two sort of meat options and one vegetarian option.
Yeah, I saw that.
That'll be there waiting for you on arrival, so you don't have to turn up loaded with loads of boxes and hampers and so on and so forth. There's also going to be bar facilities, so if you don't want to, you know, we're not, if you don't want to bring a bottle of wine, we'll have drinks available.
Fabulous.
Also,
there's heating in the VIP tent, isn't there, which is important.
Well, we're not going to need it.
Well, because
of
the
heat wave.
It's going to be such fantastic weather.
What do you wear for this in a heat wave? Because my godson's coming with us, and he said he's going to bring a tweed jacket, and I thought...
Tweed jacket's
hang on
good.
A tick.
No onesies, no football shirts.
Yeah.
No, obviously, because of the venue and the sort of... feel of the festival, we don't want people turning up in jeans and t-shirts and things.
We want
people to make an effort. You know, we've made an effort with the venue. Mm. We've made an effort with all the ambiance and everything else that goes on. So we just ask that people come smart casual. Obviously, it does get cooler in the evenings. Even if it's a roasting hot day, it is still England, and it will get chilly. So bring something, jumpers, you know, something to wrap.
I'm going to bring my best pashmina.
Okay, I'd like to see that. I'm sure it's a good look.
I think it's so important for what you said about, you know, the audience making an effort to respect the work
Absolutely.
You've put into
yeah.
it. And I have a friend in London who's a professional cellist.
Okay.
And she is always very concerned to wear a really nice dress when she's performing. Yeah. Because, as she says, it's part of what people go to see. And I think you should sort of reciprocate
It's mutual, yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
mutual respect
yeah,
for what
I
we're
agree.
Trying to do.
I agree.
You know, it's not much to ask. And most people tend to adhere to it. You know, it's not an issue. But we just... want people to come and enjoy and relax, but you know, make an effort on our behalf.
Yeah, and I
Fantastic.
Think, and I think it's nice, isn't it, to have an opportunity to get a bit
yeah,
dressed.
Absolutely,
up.
Dressed
I mean,
up.
You can
yeah.
enjoy that whole process yourself as well.
Yeah,
can't
yeah.
You? It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So
there's no room for my I Heart Margaret Keys t-shirt.
backstage, you might get away with it.
Here's Celeste in Paradisum. Stick with us, and then we're just going to hear a little bit more about the acts and a little bit more about the difference between Saturday and Sunday.
Thank you.
Visit Isle of Wight show on Vectis Radio. That was Celeste and In Paradisum, another wonderful artist who's played at Classic Isle. Judy and I can't emphasise this enough, actually. Classic Isle is a big event in the calendar now on the Isle of Wight, and we're not talking about any of your rubbish. These are well-known classical recording stars, aren't they? And, Paul, there's one in particular I want to ask about, and I hope I'm not going to set off Margaret Keys when I mention her name. Katie Marshall, she's only 15 years old.
She's 15. She's been on the professional circuit since she was 12, actually. So
I know, because I've been onto iTunes, and she's got all these sort of EPs out there.
Yeah, she's doing very well in her own right.
Has she got a voice like an angel?
Well, obviously. I mean, she ticks all the boxes for a lot of people. So, but she's amazing. And again, she's just 15. So
yeah.
She's one to watch out for, much as all the artists have come through classical. I'll have all gone on to bigger things, bigger and better things.
We're really, really, really excited. So. I'm learning the guitar at the moment, so I'm learning. No, it wasn't. No, I was going to say because I'm learning the I'm learning with a classical guitarist, so I'm very, very excited about Michael Christian Durrant.
Yes, very well traveled man. He travels the world, and again, amazing guitarist in his own right.
Yeah.
Has a great following, and he's selected a well-known repertoire for us of all stuff that Aranjuez and Rodriguez and all the stuff that you recognise.
Well, that's kind of stuff my music teacher will one day teach me, but at the moment it's scales.
Yes, watch this space.
And back to the indomitable Margaret Keys. Now, she is a force of nature. She has sung for the Pope, and you just told me she was at Carnegie Hall recently.
She was at Carnegie Hall, played to 35,000 people. Yeah, she's toured America with Andrea Bocelli. I mean, she is, as you say, a force of nature.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's finishing it off for you, isn't she?
She's going to be headlining the Sunday night. She's got a great rapport with the audience. She's an entertainer as well as a great soprano, and she just ticks all the boxes. Yeah. She's such a lovely individual as well. You know, so easy to get on with.
So how do people choose between the Saturday and the Sunday lineup?
Well, I mean, they don't. They come to both.
Oh, that was an
simple
obvious
answer.
I set myself up there, didn't I? So just remind us of the dates again, Paul.
8th and 9th of July.
And it's classicisle.com, isn't it?
Classicisle.com's the website. Barton Manor's the venue in East Cowes. Loads of parking, easy to get to.
And you're on Twitter and Facebook
We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. You can't miss us. If you go onto the website, you've got the little icons in there, so you can go on there. You can follow us on Twitter and also Facebook. You get, obviously, little updates tweeted and I don't do Facebook, but, I mean, it's done for me, but...
Yeah.
Poked? I'm not sure.
I don't think they poke anymore. Kieran, do they poke anymore? No, they don't.
No idea.
Poking so then.
Is it? that's how far behind I am.
And on that bombshell, I think we're going to have to leave you, Paul. Thank you ever so much for coming
in.
We are officially stoked for that weekend. It's going to be brilliant and very much looking forward to it.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Don't worry, we haven't gone gaga. That was Martinez who's gone gaga with his take on an accordion of Lady Gaga's Telephone. How about that? Now, Kieran is with me in the studio.
Hello.
Representing young people. Kieran, I'm glad we got you on air today. Sorry, it's a really, really hectic day here. We're just about to have Jerry Price, the Coastal Gardener, in for the next hour. What do you think about classical music, having listened to all of that in the last hour?
Well, personally, I love classical music. I have a feeling...
Yeah.
With younger people,
yeah.
Music has become a lot more electronic. Instruments seem to have sort of disappeared slightly.
Yeah, I know.
It's all computerised now.
It is. I mean, I went on sort of computer music course for a year to write it. And that's how young people address it now.
I know. It's a shame, really.
But you are an acoustic kind of guy.
I started out with folk.
Did you?
Yeah.
So when you're learning an instrument, do you still get any classical training whatsoever? I mean, do you do classical pieces?
In the Hall of the Mountain King.
Oh, yeah.
Edward Grieg. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was as far as I went with that. But, Katie Marshall, 15 years old.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing? That's and she's been recording since she's 12.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's a bit like Aled.
I mean, I'm 17.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're way behind the time. You've obviously missed the boat, Kieran. but I think this is very true with classical artists because, you know, yeah. Mozart was sort of five when he was
performing for the first time.
He did show off. He was naughty. But anyway, Classic Isle is going to be a blinder of a weekend, and I think you should give it some serious consideration.
I've already texted around my friends.
Oh, brilliant!
I've already organised going. Yeah,
fantastic. All right, well, stick with us here on Vectis Radio. Don't forget, very shortly we are going to be 104.6 on
FM.
Yes, we're very excited about that. So you'll be able to hear more from us in your car. Pity that. Here's Anastasia, Cowboys and Kisses.
The Visit Isle of Wight Show with James and Judith. Thinking of a trip to the island? Check out visitisleofwight.co.uk today.
www.vectisradio.com.